Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Before we get into our monologue and our discussion today, let me first of all invite all of our listeners to be sure to be in prayer for the families of the 13 who've lost their lives in the tourist boat accident in Missouri. A tragic, tragic situation. The tourist boat capsized, and 13 thus far, as they have accounted for the others, 13 have lost their lives. Pray for the families for encouragement and hope and peace, and that there might be rest in the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being a part of this broadcast. You can tune in each day and not just listening, but you can be a participant in this broadcast on a daily basis. You can call 401-1413, 401-1413, get you directly through to the studio microphone where we can discuss and allow dialogue over the issues. We're going to be talking about today, are you approved of God? Are you approved of God? But before we get into that, let me simply remind us that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. There are a number of people that have ideological philosophies and thoughts, and a number of people get off track, ladies and gentlemen, with what we ought to do as a Christian and how our lives ought to be lived. They get off track because of some denominational rite, R-I-T-E, ritual, rules, regulations, or dogma, when in reality that is not the answer to the Christian life. The question that we must ask is, are you approved of God? I never will forget on one occasion in witnessing to an individual about his relationship to the Lord. And he said, well, I'm a good person. I pay my bills. I do work as is honorable to the Lord. I love my family. I don't break the law. So I'm all right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not being approved of God. Even as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, there's a need for us to recognize what God would have us to do based on the Word of God, the Scripture. You see, it's not a matter of simply being a good person. It's not a matter of simply paying our bills. And as I use the term, there are many people today that think they're going to heaven because they don't kick the dog, cuss the wife, and beat the cat. And as a result of that, somehow they think that they are right. And we have a world full of that kind of thinking today. It's unfortunate, but it's true. Many of today's believers are striving to get God's approval. Maybe you haven't thought about that. Are you striving today to get God's approval? What are you doing that you think is right? In the Jewish culture, there's a mindset of having what's called mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, that simply means good deeds. Into the Jewish culture today, the mindset is that God has a giant set of balancing scales. And if you put on one side all of the good deeds and on the other side of the scale, all the bad deeds, if you do enough good deeds, one day those good deeds will outbalance the bad deeds. And therefore, you are going to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not biblically, theologically correct. But I want us to understand some are striving today. Perhaps you've said yes to Christ as Savior. And simply in your mind, you bought a good insurance policy. It's a fire insurance policy. You've tucked it away in the vault And then one day when death comes, fire insurance policy will be pulled out, and God says, wonderful, come on in. You've already bought your ticket. You can get in the gates of heaven. It doesn't work that way, ladies and gentlemen. There are those striving today to approve, be approved to God. Some do so by doing good deeds, that is, helping others. It's wonderful to help others. Some are doing without in some kind of being mindset of having to be selfless in order to appease God and to be approved of God. Some are trying to be approved to God by loving others. We should love others. Some are trying to be approved to God by giving money to so many good causes. In fact, I have met down through the years multitudes of good people that have given a lot of money to a lot of good causes, a lot of good secular causes, got a lot of good programs that meet the needs of others, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not being approved of God. That is not part of the process of being approved of God. Many are tithing. Tithing is wonderful. And by the way, tithing is biblical. It is not simply an Old Testament dispensation. It is biblical. It is giving a tenth. If you go back to the Old Testament dispensation, the Jewish people under the Old Testament law, even under the law, they gave 30%, three different tithes, 30% of their income and their earnings and their goods. And yet some say, well, tithing is not for the New Testament. Yes, it is. Jesus commended tithing. In fact, open your Bible at your leisure. Look at Matthew 23:23, and see where Jesus himself commended tithing. And I could go through dozens and dozens of scriptures in the New Testament that will validate it. Tithing was set up in the process, even in the Old Testament, before the law. You can look at Genesis chapter 14 and discover that. It was before the law was given that tithe was authorized in the scripture. Many today think that somehow just tithing will get the approval of God. Tithing, ladies and gentlemen, is simply the infantile start for the new Christian. You get saved as a Christian. The starting point is the tithe, giving a tenth. And every day in our lives, we should be giving more and more and more to the Lord and to the work of God in the gospel ministry and it being spread. Others will be in church services every time the doors are open. And somehow they're thinking that that's appeasing God. That's getting God's approval. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be in worship service. If your church has services Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you need to be there. No exception. Unless you're sick, dead, or dying. If you're in heaven, there's no need to worry about it. But unless you're sick, dead, or dying, or as the old-timers used to use the term, unless you're providentially hindered, you need to be in church. But that just being in church is not getting the approval of God. What does the Bible say about getting the approval of God? The Bible says that we must study to show ourselves approved unto God. What does this mean in that statement? It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and it's in the context where the Apostle Paul is talking to young Timothy about what is needed, because the previous verse to that, it talks about the fact of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to profit, no profit, but to be subverting of the hearers. Paul was talking to young Timothy about those that just had they were verbose with a lot of words, and it was designed to subvert the hearers into believing and following them. And the next verse says, study to show thyself approved, notice that word approved, unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's examine these verses very briefly. In relationship to the context and what it's saying. And as a believer today, and perhaps you're listening, and you say, well, I don't understand what you're saying, call in. Let's have dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you've got an observation that differs with what I'm saying. Love to hear what you're saying. I'm simply going to exegete what the Word of God says in context. Words have meaning, and God's Word is no different than any other word process that we look at today. And the Scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's examine these verses and see, what does the Bible say? Why is it important for us to, as listeners today, why is this text important to us? What should every believer learn from this verse? How should we respond to this verse if we're thinking on the subject today? Are you approved unto God? First of all, there must be a paramount commitment, and that commitment must be to study. That word study means to give utmost importance to. It means to give diligence to. It means to focus on. It is the idea is to be persistent in zeal. It is talking about total commitment to be approved unto God. Our goal, ladies and gentlemen, must be our zeal and vigor in life, and that must be focused on being tested and approved by Holy God. And it's the bottom line is, how do we handle the Word of God? Is God's Word important to us? You see, God's the inspector of what we do with His Word. The word approved comes to the little Greek word dokimos. That's D-O-K-I-M-O-S, pronounced dokimos. Dokimos literally means to be accepted after being tested. To be accepted after being tested. And back in that era when this was penned, ladies and gentlemen, they would make pottery, and it was not put in the big kilns as we have today. They would take the clay material, form it into a vase or a vase or a bowl or a pottery object. It was baked in the fire, and then after the coals were cooled, the object would be pulled out of the coals and the ashes that's left be lifted and would be looked at toward the sun. And as they would look through it, if there was a crack found in it, it would be stamped, ah, dokimos, ah, dokimos. That means disapproved. So literally the idea is after going through the fire, after going through the test by the Word of God, through the Word of God, are you approved or disapproved? Have you met the requirements of the Word of God of being dokimos, accepted? You see, as we go through the fire of God's test in our lives, as to His Word, what does the Word say, and how are we responding to His Word? Notice the Scripture says, the Word of truth. It's talking about God's Word. Notice not only there must be a paramount commitment, there must be a priority of concern. Notice the Scripture says, approved of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that means we are not seeking, listen carefully, we're not seeking man's applause, we're not seeking man's approval, we're not seeking man's acceptance, but God's approval, God's acceptance after being tested. We are His servants. And when you study the term servant, one that is a doulos, a slave, a servant of God, as whatever we do is to be presented before the very throne of God for His ever eye of inspection to determine, does it meet His approval? As we present our lives to Him, as we present our service to Him, we're seeking God's approval, and our priority must be that of being approved as we study, studying the Word of God. Are we being approved of God? Is what we study and find applied in our lives to be approved? And the third thing is the person considered. Notice the Scripture says a workman. The word workman simply translated means laborer. The idea is we need not be ashamed of the labor and the work that we do in the Word of God. His work, according to His Word, determines our witness in the world and what we do. If we stand before God, would we be ashamed of what we've done in and through His Word? Ponder for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. If you were standing before the Lord Jesus Christ at this moment, would you have a bowed head and hands behind you as being embarrassed and ashamed of your life and what you've done in the study and the presentation of the Word of God? Would you be ashamed? We need to be recognize that we need to consider that we're a workman, a laborer in the vineyard of God's work today. Ladies and gentlemen, the fourth thing is the process that's considered. Notice the Scripture says, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word rightly dividing means cutting it straight. It means cutting the Word of God straight down the middle, seeking how God's Word is to be interpreted and what it means in its context and what it says and how it's applicable in your life and mine and then in the lives of others. How do we handle the Word of God? Do we know the Word of God? Ladies and gentlemen, do you know the Scripture today? I'm not talking about, do you know John 3:16? I'm not talking about, do you know Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I'm not talking about any other single verse in the Scripture. I'm talking about, do you know the Word of God? You see, knowing the Word of God is dividing it right. It is looking at what it means. This means it's the believer's responsibility is ultimately awesome in what we believe about the Scripture, not just some half-handed understanding of it. Recently, I heard a preacher, he was preaching on Daniel chapter 5, talking about the handwriting on the wall. And in Daniel chapter 5, God's finger wrote a message to Belshazzar on the wall as they were having a great banquet. And it literally said, you're weighed in the balances and found wanting. It's God's finger. The message is to Belshazzar about the judgment that God was going to bring on Belshazzar. But this preacher said, all you've got to do as a Christian, is just as that finger on the wall, you just write on the wall what you want God to do, and God's obligated to do it. You just take your wall, and the wall becomes your scroll, and you write out, God, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want. God, you simply be the little water boy to deliver my demands to you. That's hideous. That's sad. That's ridiculous for any preacher to do that. But ladies and gentlemen, we find pulpits filled with that kind of message today because it's simply appeasing what the gravis hearts, the greedy hearts, want to hear in America today. Ladies and gentlemen, that's putting poison in the milk of the Word. What if I were to take a gallon of grade A vitamin D milk and you watch me crack the seal and you watch me put one drop of arsenic in it, that's poison, and shake it up? Would you want to take a drink, just a little half glass of that milk? No, you wouldn't. It's poison. It's been diluted, polluted. It's poisonous. And this is the danger today, ladies and gentlemen, where everybody has a word, everybody has an interpretation, everybody has an idea of what the Word of God says, and God's Word requires us to meditate upon it. God's Word requires us to examine it, to know it, and not say half-truth, but full-truth, not to be admixture to the Word of God, not to add a little error with a little truth, but to be total truth. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, there ought not to be any deviation from the clear, correct understanding of the Word of God. The supreme responsibility for you and for me as believers, the supreme responsibility for a pastor, for a Christian teacher, for a preacher, for a deacon, for a Christian educator, or the average man in the pew, the average Christian, is to know the Word of God. Recently, we have a broad email list, and we sent out a notification about the seminar that's coming up. And the seminar title, the seminar notification newsletter, was talking about evolution and finding that evolution is not taught in the Scripture. And this one gentleman emails a very sharp, castigating email back. And he says, I have you to know, I'm a faithful Catholic. Evolution is fact. Get over it, end quote. And I don't know who it was. I have no earthly idea. But it's proof positive of his ignorance of the Word of God. Simply put, it is proof positive of his ignorance of the Word of God. There's no recognition there of what the Scripture says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, not man, a workman, that's a laborer in the Word of God, laboring, that needeth not to be ashamed, embarrassed, but rightly dividing, rightly interpreting, rightly studying the Word of truth. And Jesus said, ladies and gentlemen, in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And so we're talking about the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, Conservative Theological University right here in Jacksonville will present a super seminar tonight and tomorrow. It starts at 6:30 this evening, goes to 9:30, and then in the morning on Saturday, 9 o'clock until approximately 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They give a little leeway there because depending on the lecturer, our seminars of this type sometimes can end early, sometimes a little bit later, depending on the question and answer process portion of the seminar lecture. This lecture, though, that's presented, that I believe everybody needs to participate in. You do not have to be an enrolled student in the university. You don't have to be an enrolled student in an undergraduate or graduate degree program. But the seminar is God's 7,000-year universe, God's 7,000-year timetable. It is looking at the Word of God from cover to cover. It is doing a overview, not of this, not of interpreting the Scripture, not of exegeting the Scripture, not of looking at the Scripture on the basis of what does this verse say in that one, but looking at the gigantic, sorry to say ginormous, but it is the gigantic 7,000-year skeleton. If you want to hang the truth of the Word of God on something that will give absolute evidence of knowledge of the Word of God, you need to know the time frame. You need to know what God is talking about when He talks about details of dates and months and times and years. God's Word talks about so many days, so many hours, so many years, so many months, et cetera, et cetera. Days, months, and years are important with God, and they need to be important with us. You see, scholars over the past two centuries have studied and searched and surmised just how long the world would stand. Some concluded that the world is millions and millions of years old. Others, billions of years old. Others are just simply confused as they try to approve or get the approval and the appease of the evolutionist. Ladies and gentlemen, evolutionist, any preacher, teacher, Bible leader, any scriptural, spiritual leader that will say that evolution is fact, they've not studied behind Charles Darwin, especially in his writings, because in the last years, the last months and days of his life, he instructed his nurse to bring me the book. She said, "What book, sir?" He said, "The Bible, the only truth." In fact, it was simply never even developed to a theory. It was simply a thought that he had. And it has now been taken, and there's a religion made out of evolution. And Christians think somehow we need to bow to the evolutionist to be able to then defend the Word of God. And I say, no, 10,000 times no. And this seminar, ladies and gentlemen, that will be God's 7,000-year timeline, it is the kingdom of God, it is a journey through the ages, it is a look at the big picture so that every Christian can get a handle on how to open the real, written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We're talking about God's 7,000-year Bible timeline. We're talking about an overview tonight and tomorrow in the on the campus here at Conservative Theological University. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, exactly 1 mile south of I-295, right here in the heart of Mandarin. You see, Bible students talk about the kingdom of God. Christians talk about knowing the Word of God. Christians and preachers and pastors and spiritual leaders and deacons and Sunday school teachers rarely study the Bible to understand what God is meaning when He puts in dates. Most just skip over those dates, skip over the details, skip over the months and the times and the years and the days without having a good understanding. Why does God give us these dates and times in His Word? It's because time is meaningful to God. And ladies and gentlemen, time, as outlined in Scripture, should be meaningful to you and to me. God has a wonderful plan for you. God has a wonderful plan for me. God has a wonderful plan for every Christian, and He's carrying out His plan each and every day. If you're a Bible student, if you're a casual reader of the Scripture, if you're a seminary student, if you are studying the Word of God and you diligently want to understand what the Word of God says, you should not miss this seminar. This seminar is something that is on the shelf level that everyone can understand it. This seminar is presented by my bride, Dr. Dot Youngblood. She's the founder and executive president, executive vice president of Conservative Theological University. She received her PhD in Christian education with a focus and dissertation in Christian biblical world history. She did so via a timeline. And ladies and gentlemen, this makes her uniquely qualified to teach this seminar. Don't you dare miss it. This seminar is bringing an overview of history from creation all the way through to the end of the age. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, if we understand a little about calendars and time, and she'll talk about this more in her study and presentation for you tonight and tomorrow, but if you understand, when you go back to the Jewish calendar, for example, now, the Jewish calendar is slightly under 6,000 years. And if you look at biblical truth, the next thing in the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church, by the way, the rapture of the church ends the day of grace. It ends the church age. And when the day of grace, the church age is wrapped up in the rapture, there's 7 years of tribulation. And then when Christ returns, He'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. It's theologically referred to as the millennial reign. And when the millennial reign is over, we're ushered into eternity, and all time, as we know it today, ends. And we believe that it's on a 7,000-year symmetrical calendar of God. And my bride, Dr. Dot Youngblood, will be teaching that, and you will be thrilled by what you understand, by what you know. Bring a good notepad. Come prepared to take copious notes. Come prepared to listen and learn. During the course of the seminar, ladies and gentlemen, on tomorrow, there will be an hour's break for lunch. We'll serve a light luncheon. Tonight, there'll be different snacks as you come in just to get refreshed. There'll be a break about every 50 to 55 minutes so you can stretch your legs. There'll be opportunity given for a Q&A, question and answer, that you can have input, that you can have some of your question answered in relationship to that. But the journey through the ages, the kingdom of God, the 7,000-year biblical timeline will be a blessing to you, whether you're a college student taking courses for credit, and some of our students that are taking courses for credit in their undergraduate and graduate program. Some of them will be here if they've signed up for this particular course or if it fits in their matriculation scheme of courses that they need to take. Or if you're just going to audit the course, that's what you do. We are opening the doors for everyone listening to this broadcast to enroll and to register for this seminar tonight. You can do so by calling 262-8275, 262-8275. Leave your name and telephone number and contact. Somebody will get back with you. If you don't want to do that, just come. Come about 30 minutes early so that you can get registered for this course. You'll receive your syllabus. You'll receive all the lecture, about 10 hours of lecture. You'll receive luncheon tomorrow. You'll receive a book that goes along with the course. It's not a book about the course, but it's a book dealing with theological, doctrinal, biblical issues. You'll receive that. The course cost is $99. It's at the bottom shelf. Many universities offer something similar to this, but not this timeline. They offer their seminars, and it's anywhere from $199 to $499 for any seminar that's offered by the overwhelming majority of the universities and colleges and seminaries across America. This is $99. It's almost what our cost is on just presenting the seminar. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're bringing three or more from your institution or from your church, it's $50 apiece. You must have three or more to get that $50 cost. But ladies and gentlemen, it is well worth that $99 for you to come. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. The doors open this evening at 6 o'clock for you to pre-register and come on in, and the seminar starts at 6:30 to 9:30. We're 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, located exactly 1 mile south of I-295. If you want to be obedient to the Scripture, where the Scripture challenges us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, this is your opportunity. And ladies and gentlemen, perhaps your pastor is not hearing this. Call your pastor. Recommend that he take this seminar. In fact, if you want to be bold about it, say, Pastor, if you'll take this seminar, I'll pay your $99 fee. That's a good gesture for any church member, for any Christian in your church. But if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a deacon, if you're serving the Lord as an associate pastor, assistant to the pastor, maybe even the church secretary, or if you're a pastor indeed, you must participate. This is designed so that you'll better understand the Word of God and be more effective in wielding the sword of truth in the life in which we're living. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Conservative Theological University and the Kingdom of God, the journey through the ages, the 7,000-year biblical timeline, this evening at 6:30 to 9:30. Arrive at 6 o'clock. Get your registration done. We're looking forward to having you to be with us even this evening and tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining in this Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Looking to meet you once again on the air even tomorrow as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.